Good morning.
Good morning,
and a warm welcome to you all on this Palm Sunday. It's lovely to see you all, and especially lovely to see all the children and their family with us this morning as part of the Messy Church. It's absolutely lovely to see you all. And a special welcome to any visitors who are worshipping with us this morning as well. There are a number of intimations for you on our bulletin on the order of service. If I could just draw your attention to one briefly first. The Kinloss Military Wives Choir will be performing here in the church on Saturday, the 27th of April at 7:30. Tickets will be available after the service at the back of the church today, and see Ian Cameron for those. As a quick reminder as well, that the Christian Aid lunches will take place this Wednesday until Friday, and all are welcome. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Let's join together in our first hymn, Mission Praise 41, At the Name of Jesus. Hello. Bit of enthusiasm. Hello. There we go, I can hear you now. Today's a very special Sunday. Do we know what Sunday is today? Which one do you think it is? Palm Sunday, that's right, well done. And do we know what happened on Palm Sunday? Have you been thinking about that this morning already? What happened on Palm Sunday? Yeah? What have you been doing? What have you been thinking about? You were playing in the playroom, that's good, yes. Do you think when you're going, I could come through with you and play in the playroom? Would that be okay? No. Okay, suit yourself. Oh, okay, I see. Right. So what do we think about Palm Sunday? What have we been doing? Your crafts and things. Have you brought some crafts through with you? What have you brought? Let's see. Oh, look at this. We'll hold it up so the congregation can see, and hopefully I don't drop them. It's very nice. It's very nice. Well done. So you're going to be taking those home with you? Yes. So what do we think about Palm Sunday? What was happening? Oh, sorry, we've got another one here. Beg your pardon. Oh. There's an egg involved here, people. That was close. We'll very gently give that back to you. Oh, and another one. Very nice. Oh, that's beautiful. Got a cross here as well. That's lovely. So what was Jesus doing on Palm Sunday? Where was he coming into? Do you remember the name of the place that he was going to? Do you remember that one? Oh, I've heard something. Casey, were you saying the name? It definitely starts with a J. That's right, it does. You're getting there. Anyone else have a try? Oh, another hand, okay. Jerusalem, well done. It's not an easy one to say that. And what were all the people doing, the crowds of people doing when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on his donkey? What were they doing? Were they waving? Were they doing this? Were they all excited? Yes, Casey. They were waving palm branches. That's right. Because do you know what? They recognized who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was. Because he was quite famous. And I've got some pictures with me today of some famous people or characters. And I'm wondering if we can do the same today. I'm wondering if we can recognize these people. Now, there's quite a few that you might recognize, and one or two that your mums and dads in the congregation might recognize, so we'll see. Now, hopefully they're big enough, but I will hold them up. So let's see the first one.
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse, well done. Oh, sorry, no, it's Minnie Mouse. It's Minnie. It's Minnie Mouse, right, first one. Oh, that was a hand straight up. What do we think?
A boy.
It's Harry Potter. It is a boy. It is a boy. And his name's Harry Potter. Well done. That's fine. You're a boy too. Yes, you are. It's a teddy bear. And it is. It's Pudsey. It's Pudsey. And who's Pudsey? Do you know who Pudsey is? Yes, Casey. It is Children in Need Bear, that's right. Well done. We're doing well. Now, this one maybe more mums and dads might know, but maybe some of you may know too.
That looks like poor mummy.
Oh! We're being told it's a mummy. Who do we think? What about this one? Any mums and dads or members of the congregation know this one? If you can see, I appreciate it's not that very big. J.K. Rowling, that's right. Who wrote Harry Potter? Now, wait till we see this one. I was hearing lots of gasps and excitement. Who's this one? Olaf, yes. And who's Olaf?
Snowman.
A snowman, that's right. It's from a film, isn't it? That's where he's from. Do you remember? It's Frozen. And I like the very famous song from that one. Do we remember the famous song? Let it go. Let it go. Yes. Now, here's another one maybe for the mums and dads, although I'll maybe be surprised, maybe some of the children know this one too. There were some very appreciative noises coming from the congregation, folks. What do we think? Cliff Richard. This last one, what do we think? Looking for the lady that's in the picture. What do we think? What do we think? Anybody know? There's too much hilarity going on down here, I think. It's Mary, that's right. And who's Mary?
Mary's Jesus'
mummy. That's right, well done. We're getting very clear answers here. I'm very impressed. You did really, really well. And doing that helped me to remember that sometimes it's easy to know who someone famous is. When we see someone that we know or we've seen on the TV or heard of them, we see who someone famous is. But it also helped me to ask myself, and I would say to you to ask yourselves today, would I know Jesus if I saw him today, if I met him like I can see you and you can see me today? Would we know Jesus? Would we recognize him? Now, we might think we do because we see him in some pictures, but he might come as something else. Jesus can do all sorts of things. So I think when we're asking ourselves today if we would recognize him, we can have a short prayer to ask for God's help. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are always with us. We ask for your help to always know Jesus in our hearts and when we see him all around about us in all things. We pray that we can do our best to help others to know Jesus too. Amen. Now, what are you going to be doing after this? Are you going back through to the hall? No, you're not going back through to the hall. Okay, you're staying here. That would be okay. What are you going through to the hall for? It's breakfast.
We're going home to the hall.
Oh, and then afterwards you're going to be going home. That's okay. And what are you going to be having for your breakfast? Oh, you're going to be watching Ice Age?
Yeah.
That sounds super exciting. I like the thought of that. What's for breakfast? Pancakes. Are you going to save any for us?
No.
No, that was a very firm no. Okay. Let us all join together in our next hymn from Mission Praise 167. And it's my fault, folks, when you see on the order of service it's Mission Praise 67. It's actually 167. Give me oil in my lamp. We now have our first reading from Psalm 118, verses 15 to 29.
Thank you. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thank you for that reading. Let us join together in our prayers for ourselves and one another. Let us pray. Lord God, as those disciples gathered around you and rejoiced when you entered Jerusalem many years ago, so we too this Palm Sunday come together to worship and praise you. We pray for your church this day, that all those who trust in Jesus will be refreshed by your Spirit to follow in Jesus' service and humility, to welcome and not to condemn. Merciful God, you know each time we fail. You know each time we fail as human beings to acknowledge you and live and act as you would have us do. We ask you will rearrange our priorities and help us to live more like Jesus. In this coming week, Lord, as we welcome good days and face challenges, we humbly pray for renewed faith, renewed spirit, and renewed energy. We thank you for all of us in our communities and congregations, for all of their blessings, their talents, their gifts, and the giving of their time to their church and community, especially in this week as we think of today as Palm Sunday and look forward to Easter. We thank you for them and all that they give. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue our praise from Mission Praise 580. Ride on in majesty.
Thank you.
In today's second reading, the first gospel reading from Luke, Jesus is finally approaching Jerusalem, which he had been journeying towards since the middle of the gospel. And now in chapter 19, they are finally reaching their destination, the holy city.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at a hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying this?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes to the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he said, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'"
Thank you. This passage from Luke tells us about the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life and earthly ministry. So often in the Gospels, we see the disciples just did not get it. They said the wrong thing. They did the wrong thing. They misunderstood Jesus. If they were not arguing over who among them was the greatest, or preventing little children from approaching Jesus, then they were falling asleep when he asked them to pray with him in Gethsemane. The disciples made a lot of mistakes. In other words, they were human beings. At the start of today's reading, Jesus and the disciples were at the village of Bethany, which was only a few kilometers outside of Jerusalem. There, Jesus' ministry will reach its climax as he comes into conflict with the Jewish religious authorities and the Roman civil authorities. In just a few short days, he would be arrested, tried, and executed. It sounds like that day should be a day of mourning, but it's not. It's one of celebration. The first sign the day would be different was when Jesus told two of the disciples to go to the village just up ahead, where they would find a colt, a young horse, or a donkey. They were to untie it and bring it to him. If anyone asked them why they were taking it, they were to simply say, "The Lord needs it." Sending the disciples for the donkey was an unusual command. But it was not a usual day. Jesus was clearly planning something. Now, Luke doesn't share with us the disciples' reaction. Maybe they're curious to know what this is all about. Maybe they're thinking that Jesus is nuts. We don't know, we're not told. But I don't think it would be unreasonable for us to think that. Regardless, they went to the village. They found the colt. When they were asked by the owners why they were untying it, they said exactly what Jesus instructed them to say: "The Lord needs it." Then they brought the animal to Jesus. They threw their coats on the donkey and placed Jesus on the animal. The crowd that accompanied Jesus welcomed him like royalty. Luke gives us an idea of the size of the crowd. It's not merely the 12 disciples who are there to witness Jesus' entrance into the city. A whole multitude of disciples are present. So what are the people expecting as Jesus rode in on the donkey? To help us to understand, let's put the scene into some context. At the time, the Jewish people were living under Roman authority. They had been conquered by the Roman Empire, and they absolutely hated it. The Jews would have read the prophecies of the Old Testament and would have held the view that the Messiah was going to come bursting onto the scene, all guns blazing, be a political warrior. They were expecting a messianic figure like David to rise, who would lead them to victory against the Romans and throw off the shackles of oppression and restore Israel. So there was an intense anticipation that Jesus was going to do a wonderful thing. They were going to be free of the Roman officials. They had been promised by God that someone would come to save them. Everyone in Israel had been taught that the Messiah would be enthroned as king in Jerusalem. So when it is recorded in Matthew's gospel, when Peter declared in verse 16 that Jesus was the Messiah, the warrior vision of one who will come to save the day is what he had in mind. It's understandable then, when we read the passage from Matthew's gospel, that the crowd were not only shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," but also, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Hosanna from the Hebrew means "save us." We saw a glimpse of this from our first reading today from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Considering the fierce Roman rule of the time, it's understandable the crowds were shouting out to the Messiah to save them. It sounds a truly terrific moment for Jesus as he rode in on the donkey. However, we know that within a week, the crowds would be shouting, insisting, demanding for Jesus to be crucified. Not only would the crowd turn against Jesus, even some of his most faithful followers would turn against him. Perhaps the most famous of this, aside from Judas' betrayal, is Peter's desertion. Peter became a fickle friend. So what was it that caused Peter, one of the most faithful disciples, to be such a fickle friend? There are many things, including various quirks of human nature, that turns faithful followers into fickle friends. One of these is self-preservation. We all feel it. When it comes to making life choices, self-preservation is a very powerful force. When push comes to shove, most of us tend to look out for ourselves, whether we recognize it or not. Jesus had predicted earlier that the disciples would run for their lives when the arresting party showed up. Even though all of the disciples denied they would desert him, and perhaps most emphatically, Peter denied it, saying, "Even if we all will be made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Well, the disciples were dead wrong. Self-preservation, which is rooted in fear, that's one of the reasons the disciples also ran away. They were afraid that if they stayed with Jesus, they would be put to death too. So when the temple guards showed up, they fled like rats from a sinking ship. Thinking about that at first makes me flinch. But in closer consideration, it proves the disciples were human beings who felt fear and allowed that fear to overcome their faith. So let me, as a human being who can feel fear, ask all of you, as human beings who can also feel fear, when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ this Palm Sunday, are you a faithful follower or a fickle friend? If someone were to ask me that question, I would have to confess, as much as it causes me pain, that I'm a little of both. And I suspect many of you are too. The good news is, like a loving parent, God loves us and forgives us when we are faithful and when we are fickle. Jesus demonstrated that forgiveness when reinstating Peter after the crucifixion. That forgiveness is why Jesus entered Jerusalem to begin his final journey to the cross. And thanks be to God that he did. It means that when we lose ourselves in our faith, and we do, we all do, me included, when we change from being faithful followers of Christ to being fickle friends, for any reason, small or big, we can seek forgiveness and come back to our loving God. Let us join together singing our next hymn from Mission Praise 242, Hosanna, Hosanna, singing our own Hosanna to God. We now read on in Luke's Gospel of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem, reading from Luke 19, verses 41 to 48.
As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer. You made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet he could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. There are only a few recorded instances in the Bible where Jesus wept or where he felt extreme grief or sorrow. One of the more well-known events was when Jesus traveled to the house of Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died and had been buried for 4 days. From John 11, we can read, "Where have you laid him?" he said. "Come and see, Lord." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And for the glory of God, Jesus then raised Lazarus from the dead. We have just heard Jesus also wept when he entered Jerusalem for the last time in Luke 19:41. He wept then because he knew the people did not understand about the kingdom of God. He knew that ultimately, that week, the people would turn him over to the Roman government to be crucified. Jesus felt extreme grief when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal. He prayed he would be strong enough to undertake the challenge he had in front of him. There is a common theme through these instances when Jesus wept or felt extreme sorrow: his love for the people and sorrow they did not understand about the kingdom of God. They didn't know the eternal life one finds through the resurrection of Jesus is the peace of the kingdom of God. The people of Israel rejected him. Can we go back one slide? Sorry. Thank you. We reject him when we don't follow his teachings. Yet Jesus wept for us, for you and me, each one of us. In spite of our rejection of him, Jesus still cares about us. As we journey through the passage of Luke, we know sorrow was not the only emotion experienced by Jesus on coming into Jerusalem. Jesus also felt very serious, very deep anger at what he saw going on at the temple. So the traditional, cozy image of Jesus, meek and mild, is not a true reflection of his whole character, as this story vividly shows. Jesus was not simply a quiet, unassuming man who was afraid to risk offending anyone. And he was not like our politicians at times, going round at election time, kissing babies and trying to make everyone like him. Jesus was strong and a courageous man who had the guts to stand up to hypocrisy and injustice and sin when he encountered it. But his actions at the temple went too far as the temple authorities were concerned. This man from Nazareth was a direct threat to everything they held dear and to their living. It's important to understand the background of this incident, as it was a contributing factor to what ultimately led to the death of Jesus. It was Passover, so Jerusalem was absolutely heaving with people from all over. The population at the time would not just double or even treble, it might be tenfold or more. Passover was a major festival for the Jews, and the Jewish law stated every male should offer sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem as often as possible, but particularly at Passover. Additionally, all devout Jews had to pay a temple tax. Now, there were many types of currencies circulating, and since only special temple coins were acceptable, money changers could charge a fee for the necessary exchange. And we think the exchange rate at the moment is bad. So the money changers could therefore make handsome profits at the expense of the ordinary people. And a temple visit usually involved a sacrifice. However, the animal sellers often charged outrageous prices, thus making a high profit for themselves. Now, at this point, I, and I'm sure many of you, would be thinking logically that if buying a sacrifice from the animal sellers caused such a problem, then why didn't the people simply bring their own animals? The reason is, If the people had brought their own animals for sacrifice, the animals would have to be examined, and any blemish, however small, would be rejected, thrown out. And they would have to buy from the temple's suppliers again and at extortionate prices. The conditions of the temple sacrifice reminds me of the price to a trip to the cinema these days. Not only do you have to buy your tickets, which are usually at least the best part of £10, but many people also purchase drinks and snacks before taking their seats in a cinema. And these days, I cannot believe the price of purchasing a soft drink and perhaps popcorn or a similar snack. I don't think, even per person, you would get much change of £15 or £20. Now, I consider that to be extortionate, so I usually buy snacks before and take them with me. Now, that example is very mild compared to the severity of the conditions severely applied to the ordinary Jewish people, the ones who are just getting by day to day. So it's no wonder that Jesus lost his temper as badly as he did in seeing these very poor pilgrims being so unjustly treated. And not only that, the poor pilgrims were being unjustly treated in the temple, where prayer and worship should be taking place. To add insult to injury, the high priests and their cohorts were also taking a commission from the money changers and animal sellers. Jesus was therefore threatening their very profitable living. They were getting rich at the expense of the poor Jewish ordinary people. And Jesus was upsetting the apple cart. There were also political issues to consider for the Jewish authorities. The land was under the occupation and authority of Rome, and the Jewish practices in the temple were tolerated as a means of maintaining peace and control. By very publicly cleansing the temple, Jesus was a direct threat in so many ways, and he had to go. We can see the animosity from the Jewish religious authorities from verses 47 and 48 of our gospel reading today. That every day Jesus was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. Jesus spent his last week before his death teaching and healing. Looking at these verses prompts me to think and ask of myself, in this last week leading up to Easter, what will be my goals? What will be your goals? It also prompts me to think about myself as a temple, and I encourage each of you to think about yourselves as temples, which may seem a bit silly at first, but when I ask of myself, by accepting Jesus once again this Palm Sunday, and indeed in this week coming up to Easter, what would Jesus think of my various unchristian actions? Would it be the same or similar to the money changers? As much as it pains me to admit it, the answer is very probably yes. Which reminds me to be forever grateful for the events of today and of Holy Week, which tells us that we are still saved by his crucifixion and resurrection. As we move through this week of celebration, of betrayal, of death, and of resurrection, let us remember this assurance from God. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you in my right hand. Amen. Our offering will now be received, and for the benefit of any visitors with us today, if now is not an appropriate time to give, please pass the bowl along. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless, we pray, the offering we make now that is given to you glory and for the good of many. Lord of palm branches and the cross, you understand the pain of rejection. We pray for people who feel rejected by society, who feel rejected by family and friends for any reason. Help us all, Lord God, to be merciful, to be kind, and to treat others as we would treat ourselves. We pray for world leaders that they may follow the example of Christ in humility and humble service. We ask for your peace and blessing, Lord, for a positive process for Brexit. Merciful God, as we remember the Passover pilgrims struggling under the financial burdens imposed on them by the temple authorities, we pray for all who are struggling financially in our congregations and communities, those who are struggling to provide the very basics of life. We pray we, as your church, can do all we can to help relieve their suffering. Loving God, as Jesus wept in sorrow, we pray for those who have lost a loved one or are dealing with difficult news. We especially remember anyone in our congregation and community who are feeling loss. In the shock, confusion, pain, and sorrow, we pray for hearts to be open to the comfort of your Spirit. And now, Lord, in a time of quiet, please hear and accept the prayers from our hearts and from our thoughts. Lord God, through Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of all, we pray you will accept these our prayers. Amen. Let us close our time of worship and praise, singing from Mission Praise 457, Make Way, Make Way.
Thank you.
Go now in peace and love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep us all this Palm Sunday and in all our days to come. Please do so. Thank you.